Blog Talk Radio.
Seems like I can hear the small voice of Jesus. Oh, I see the sea.
Good evening. Good evening. Welcome to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. I am the pastor, Reverend Michael Rogers. I'm glad you have joined us tonight. It is October the 19th, year of our Lord, 2021, and you are listening to the First Baptist of Holly Springs Bible Study Power Hour. First Baptist is located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina, where we are having in-person service. You are invited to come and worship with us. This coming Sunday, we will be celebrating 155 years that God has blessed the house. You are cordially invited to come and celebrate with us. Our services start at 10 a.m. Sunday morning. You can come live and be in person with us, or you can watch it over the Facebook Live. We do have a Facebook page. Go there. Don't forget to like and share. You can see our Sunday morning service on Facebook Live. Also on the Facebook, you'll find all the pertinent information concerning First Baptist of Holly Springs. You'll find all the Bible studies that we have done this year, all the sermons we have done this year, all the information concerning the General Baptist State Convention of North Carolina and the Wake Baptist Association. So join us each Sunday morning. We are located at 208 Grigsby Avenue in the city of Holly Springs, North Carolina. You can come in person and be a part of the worship service. We thank God, of course, for all of you who have been supporters of First Baptist over the year. You have done a marvelous job. We thank God for the great work that the people of First Baptist are doing. We pray that you will continue to be supportive of the house of God, and you will continue to pray for the house of God as we continue to serve him. There are three ways in which you can give. You can stop by the church between the hour of 10 and 11:30. Trustees are there to take care of all of your financial needs. You can also mail your tithes or offerings into the church. Go to the Facebook page, find the correct mailing address, and you can do so. You can also give through the Cash App. We do have a Cash App that starts with the dollar sign and the letters FBCHS. That stands for First Baptist Church, Holly Springs. You can be a supporter of the house of God tonight. We pray God's blessing upon all of those who are on our sick list, those who are going through, those who are just finding it difficult in these last and evil days. We know that God is still in control. We pray God's blessing upon all people, that they will find solace and comfort as we continue on this life journey. We hope that you are enjoying a wonderful day today and spending time with your family. And we appreciate you taking the time out of your schedule to join us each Tuesday night at 7 p.m. as we come with the Power Hour Bible study. Tonight, our study comes from the book of Jeremiah. Before we go get started, let us pray. Our Father and our God, we thank you for this night. We thank you for this Bible study. We thank you for those who are listening on the line, those who are listening over the internet, those who will hear this lesson long after it has been recorded. We pray, God, that as we go through this lesson tonight, that we will find peace and understanding in your word. We thank you, God, that you didn't leave us without a word. And in times like this, we can go into your word and we can find comfort for our soul. We ask now, God, that you will cover those on our sick list, those who are in the rest home, those who are locked behind prison bars. They may be locked up, but they're certainly not locked out. We ask, God, that you go with us and guide us, protect us, and lead us as we continue to give your name the praise. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tonight's lesson is entitled, The God of Restoration. The God of Restoration. From the book of Jeremiah, 30th chapter, we're going to go from verse 1 through 3, and then we'll skip down to verse 18 through 22. Jeremiah, 30th chapter. I'll pause while you find it. The God of Restoration. Jeremiah, first a little background. Jeremiah is known as the weeping prophet. so much so that there is an entire book of the Bible dedicated to his sorrow, the Book of Lamentations. Most of the anguish he experienced was due to the sinful nature of the Israelites and their rejection of God. Subsequently, this also led to their captivity. But Jeremiah also experienced grief because both he and his message were rejected by the people. Jeremiah's ministry stretched from 626 BC to sometime after the destruction of Jerusalem, 587 BC. Remember, in the Old Testament, we're going down, which places him after Zephaniah and a contemporary to Ezekiel and Habakkuk in history. A very popular and often quoted scripture is derived from God calling Jeremiah to be God's prophet. For he says, "Behold, I formed you in the womb. I knew you. Before I formed you in the womb, I knew you." Jeremiah 1 and 5. In this book that bears his name, Jeremiah was clearly operating as a prophet. Throughout the book, Jeremiah declared the sins of the people, including idolatry, and God's judgment against them. One cannot fail to see the prophet's sadness and sympathy as he denounced Judah's ungodly behavior and the impending doom that would bring about. As present-day Christians, we should understand and be sad when we see unchecked sin around us. While Jeremiah frequently issued harsh denunciations, the prophet's love for the people was evident. His prophecies, however, fell on deaf ears. The people of Judah were using the temple as a good luck charm. They mistakenly believed that no real harm could befall the city that housed the magnificent temple of Jerusalem. They ignored the fact that Shiloh, which was Israel's central place of worship before David elevated Jerusalem, had fallen to the Philistines as punishment for their wickedness. This was proof that God recognized the difference between hypocritical ritual and true religion. The nation of Judah failed to heed the words of Jeremiah and would not repent or turn away from their wicked ways. So prior to the destruction of Jerusalem, Jeremiah, who continues to speak out against false prophets and prophecies, is in prison for treason. It is important to note that God no longer has the prophet speaking directly with the people. His people still have access to his words, even though they will no longer have access to his messenger. God tells Jeremiah to write all the words that he had given him in a book. Here we see a loving God making a way for people who have been continuously unfaithful to him. Often referred to as the Book of Consolation, it is believed that this portion of Jeremiah's prophecy comes to him shortly after the destruction and the sacking of Jerusalem by the Babylonians. He had warned the people that God's judgment was imminent. Jeremiah saw for himself how the nation made alliances with the idolatrous worshiping nations around them. He even began to adapt pagan worship and religious practices. For these sins and the injustices that resulted from them, God would soon judge the nation of Judah. Just as God stated, and just as Jeremiah prophesied, Jerusalem fell to the Babylonians in 587 BC. The city was utterly destroyed, and many of the people were deported. Jeremiah emphasizes that God had not forgotten nor forsaken his people, a people who had failed to heed the word of God and refused to repent, and were now suffering the consequences of their sin. God's love for his people was enduring. Even in captivity, his thoughts were turned toward them. Yes, they were being punished, but God intended that the people of Judah would be restored to him and return to their lands. So a bit of background for our lesson for tonight. So when we go into that first verse of Jeremiah, the 30th chapter, it says, "The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, Thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, Write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book." For the most part of the preceding chapters of this book, Jeremiah has been instructed by God to speak words of condemnation to the nation of Israel for their behavior. Beginning with this chapter, however, Jeremiah receives word or message from God stating God wants Jeremiah to write down the prophecies instead of speaking it because his message is to be preserved for future generations to read and understand. God knew that Jeremiah would not be taken into captivity with the rest of the Jewish nation. And by having him write the prophecies instead of speaking it, those Jews in captivity in Babylon could have a source of hope that even bondage was in accord with God's divine plan for them. Later, while a captive in the Babylonian Empire, Daniel would read and take heed of Jeremiah's prophecy, responding with a repentant heart. We'll find that in Daniel 9, 2 through 4. Verse 3. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people, Israel and Judah, saith the Lord. And I will cause them to return to the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. Through Jeremiah, God wants his chosen people to understand that their captivity or their exile in Babylon was to come to an end. The nation of Israel and Judah are to be consoled with this promise. For that reason, many scholars assert that this chapter of Jeremiah begins a book of consolation to the Jewish nation held in captivity. God had promised that he would bring again the captivity, meaning turn back or turn away the captivity or the exile of his chosen people. Jeremiah is to write the prophecy so that there will be no misunderstanding for future generations of God's sure hand and their situation. Jeremiah is to write the prophecy so that when the captivity was ended and the nation of Israel and Judah were restored to their former lands in Palestine, there will be no doubt how the restoration came about and who was the source of their restoration. Through Jeremiah, God pledged to the Jewish nation that the promises he made to their forefathers, their ancestors, that they would possess the land, inherit that land, and occupy that land of Palestine one day. And beloved, this is the reason why you see a lot of the conflict that you see over in the Middle East, particularly in the Jewish land, there when that land is split from Palestine to Jewish land. There is a conflict there, and it started way back in biblical days, and it still has not been resolved to this day. So when we go down to verse 18, we read this. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents and have mercy on his dwelling places, and the city shall be built upon their own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. Through Jeremiah, the Lord continues to promise to the Jewish nation now in bondage. The nations are to understand and believe that they will not always feel like nomads or wanderers. This is what he means by he talks about when he says Jacob's tents. Wanderers and nomads lived in tents in those days. They did not have permanent housing. They lived in tents. They were nomadic dwelling people. They lived often in the wilderness, like their forefathers, like Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob had to do. Tents will one day give away to a permanent dwelling, a dwelling place in the land that God had promised to them. God also promised to have mercy, to have or compassion on them in their dwelling places, and a promise to divine protection. Further, the city will be rebuilt upon its own heap. What it means by this, in ancient times, sites for cities were often chosen for their strategic importance, whether it was a commercial importance or a military importance or for some other reason or agricultural situation. So when a city was destroyed, a new city would often be erected on the exact same spot. That's why he means when he says the cities will be rebuilt upon their own heap. Finally, God promises that the palaces or the royal citadels or the temples will once again be after the manner thereof, meaning they will be like they were before, which is proper and right. It will once more be a place of righteousness and judgment. Even the palace is to be rebuilt to its former glory and in its former spot, and will once more be the host of sacred feasts with offerings and sacrifice to the Most High God. So here God makes some stern promises here. He says, no more will you live in your tents. No more will you be nomads. No more will you be vagabonds, but you will have dwelling places. And not only will you have dwelling places, but God is going to bless you in your dwelling places. He will have mercy and he will have pity upon you, that you will be blessed in your dwelling places. And those dwelling places will be built over old dwelling places, places where your captives had you, the places where your captives built, those cities, that those people who oppressed you, those people who kept you down. When those cities are destroyed, you will build your cities upon them. And even the palace, even the temples, even the high places will be replenished. They will come again, and they will be as they were before. And you will be able to have sacrifices and feasts to the Most High God. So then, there in verse 19, and out of them shall proceed thanksgiving, and the voice of them that make merry. But I will multiply them, and they shall not be few. I will also glorify them, and they shall not be small. Their children also shall be as of before time, and their congregation shall be established before me, and I will punish all that oppress them. All of these promises of the dwelling, permanent dwelling places, the divine protection, the increase of children, the restoration of the cities and the temples in their original places, were to result in the people's offering and thanksgiving to God, to the Lord himself. This thanksgiving would be accompanied by voices expressing great joy and happiness. God would have demonstrated his faithfulness and love before his chosen people. In their present states of bondage, such as Corinth would have it, they had it. They were hard to imagine a place like this, that time would come like this. But the nations have to have faith in God. Their suffering was to be mixed with hope for the future. As in any African society, children of Israel culture were a valuable possession and a sign of prosperity. Thus, the size and the fortunes of the various tribes of Israel would be restored, and they would be increased, and the children would be as before time. In other words, they would be like they were in older days, bountiful. Children playing in the cities, unabated, their parents with estates. Further, God would sit and watch over their congregations to protect their worship practices, and will punish those who oppose, or those who try to penalize, or those who try to oppress, force themselves upon the chosen people. This is one thing that we must understand today as a people of God, that even though we have been oppressed, even though we have had the difficulties of oppression, that we must continue to have hope for the future. In our society, we must realize that we do have a future, and we must raise our children as such, teach them the right way, so that generations before, or the generations that will come after, will be like generations before, who will have a sense of pride, who will have a sense of understanding of who they are, so that our generations that come after us will be bountiful. The generations that come after us will enjoy peace and understanding and wisdom of God. This is what this scripture means, that God is going to turn things around, that he's going to take those who are captive, turn them into those who will be a great society. He will make them just like they were intended to be in the first place. God intended us to be a free. God intended us to have his protection. God intended us to give him the glory. And anyone who tries to punish us or try to penalize us or try to keep us from giving God the glory, try to keep us from giving our praise to him, he himself will deal with. That's a very strong statement to know, that we serve a God whose protection that we will be under. That protection of God is everlasting, and it's strong, and it reaches far beyond the present day. In verse 21, and their nobles shall be of themselves, and their governor shall proceed from the midst of them. And I will cause him to draw near, and he shall approach unto me. For who is this that engages hard to approach unto me, saith the Lord? It must have pleased Jeremiah to be writing a prophecy that was intended to assure the children of Israel that at the end of their captivity to the Babylonians, their leadership structure would once again be in place. This is because of the leaders who were permanently responsible for the nation's exile. The nobles, the leading men or rulers, would be selected from their own tribes. Moreover, their governor or the one in charge or their marshal or king would be one exercising authority will come from one of their tribes. And the Lord God will cause him to draw near, to approach, to be brought close to him, to be made, to given an understanding of how the people of God should be governed. Many scholars agree that this is a foreshadowing of the Messiah, who is to come and who will be able to offer himself to God on behalf of the people. God, who sees and judges in this basis of the heart, the seat of the affections and the intellect, is mindful of any who would speak to approach him. Only Christ the Messiah would be found worthy for such a task. Only Christ, acting as the high priest of the people, could have such engagement and pledge of security in his heart. So this particular scripture deals with the fact that the nobles of them and the governors will be selected from their own tribes. No more will you be governed by people who are not like you. No more will you be led by people who don't have your best interests in heart. And this is what we need to do when it comes time to select leaders for our cities, for our counties, for our state, and for our nation. We must look closely at candidates to make sure that we vote for people who have our best interests in heart. Because if we continue to vote for those simply with name recognition, if we continue to vote for those simply who have more advertisement or whose names get out more, then we will never have the adequate rulership or leadership that we should have. Because the leadership, according to the Bible, should come from your own tribe. Those leaders from your city, from your state, from your government should come from your own tribe. They should look like you. You should always have people in power that look like you, who feel like you, who understand like you. And this is why it's so important for us as we select the leaders that will lead us. We must make sure that we have people who understand the plight of the African American. We must have people who know the history of the African American in America, and people who have a vision to bring that plight to an end. So this lesson tonight deals with that fact of having a vision for the future. So in verse 22, and ye shall be my people, and I will be your God. God will accept the sacrifice of this king or this ruler, thus ensuring the continual relationship between himself and the nation. Christ as high priest and king will be the mediator between God and the people. As the people accept Christ, God will accept the people. if we begin to understand what Jeremiah is saying here, he's saying that if we have leaders who are righteous, if we have leaders who are faithful, leaders who have a sense of moral character, then God will be the head. He will lead them in the way to lead us. And he will be accepted by God. And when you are accepted by God, you are promoted by God, and you're led by God. This is what he means by that. If our leaders are righteous and we select the right people, then he will direct them as they direct us. We need only to walk down the street of any major urban city to see the ruin and the decay. Prosperous cities and towns are full of abandoned and boarded up buildings. There are no signs of thriving businesses, and entire neighborhoods are blighted and empty. The people who remain in these areas sometimes look as forlorn as the property surrounding them. These are all signs of hopelessness. But through Christ, there is hope for the restoration and for the renewal of these communities and the people who live in them. We must be as diligent as Jeremiah in sharing the word of God, not only to loved ones, but to those who we don't even know. His people, that we must give them the understanding that God does have a plan for our future. For God wants to restore us. God wants to make of us a great nation like we once were before. He understands that we have gone into captivity. He understands that a lot of things happened while you were in captivity. You lost your moral code. You lost your sense of pride. You lost your sense of understanding who you were. You even lost your dance. You lost your song. You lost that spirit that you once had when you served the Lord. That's what captivity will do to you, beloved. It will change your name, change your heart, change your mind. But God wants us to know that even after captivity, we can be restored. We can be the people that we once were. We can have the same pride. We can have the same industry. We can have the same things that we once had before. Many of us speak of the time when there were black businesses throughout the nation, throughout the cities. There were areas where black people had barber shops and beauty parlors, restaurants, furniture stores, drug stores. In our past, we have been a very prosperous people. And God wants to make us prosperous again. But this will only happen if we turn to him. We select our leadership who has an understanding heart, who know who God is, and know the plight and the history of what we have been through. When we select leaders like that who are righteous, who have their minds stayed on him, and have a love and a compassion for their community, God will accept that leadership, and he will promote that leadership to a new level, thus promoting the communities that that leadership represents. That's what it's all about. We have a God of restoration, but there must be something that we must do on our part. We cannot be like the people of Judea who did not heed the words of Jeremiah. We cannot be like the people who turned their back on the words of God. We must heed these words today, knowing that God has a better plan for us for the future. Or it may not come in our lifetime, but we know that generations will come from us that will be stronger, that will be more well-positioned, that will be more prosperous if we keep our hands in God's hand and know that God is a God of restoration. So tonight, that's my lesson tonight. I wanted to talk about that because I wanted us to understand where we are today as a people in our communities. When we drive around the cities, we can see the blight of the cities, drug addiction, gun violence. We had a topical discussion a few weeks ago on gun violence in our communities. We also spoke about the missing, so many missing people that are going missing in our communities. We talked about the fact that the church cannot stand by idle. We must be the ones that bring a change in the community. We must be the ones that spearhead the movement toward the future. We must be the ones that tell people who is for us and who is against us. We must stand boldly in the gap and proclaim God's word. And we got to have a love. We got to have a love for one another, and we got to have a love for the word of God. Only having a love for the word of God will we be able to obey the word of God. The people of Judea, even though they were in captivity, they had to keep hope alive. And that's what we have to do today. When we look down the streets and we look around the corners of our cities and the various communities that we live in, even though it may not look like it now, and even though it may be signs of hopelessness and despair, we must know that we serve a God who is able to restore that which the enemy has taken away. Jeremiah continued to show that even more acts of mercy for the people of God are forthcoming. God will once again rebuild the cities, and he will do it in his own time. Although Jeremiah and although Jerusalem have been destroyed, remnants of the foundation and portions of the wall surrounding the city remain. See, God will always have a remnant. There will always be there those who will remember and who will be able to tell us where we should go and what we should do. There will always be a remnant, just like there were foundations that were laid so many years ago. Here the Bible said there will be foundations and walls that were torn down so many years ago. We can rebuild those foundations. We can rebuild those walls that were torn down so many years ago. And God will use this painful physical reminder to restore the people. So tonight I'm going to open the line. There may be some who would like to comment on this lesson, the God of restoration. Maybe you have studied this particular scripture before and you found it to be an enlightening part of Jeremiah's writing. Of course, Jeremiah is written extensively. The Book of Lamentations, go back and go through that if you get an opportunity. And of course, the Book of Jeremiah itself, the prophet's words speak. All right, so let's go to the phone tonight. There may be someone who would like to speak on the lesson. Let's go to area code 919, last four digits, 7443, 7443. Are you on the line?
Yes, Pastor. How you doing? This is Dr. Dosha. How you doing?
Doing great. How are you?
How I am. I am enjoying. I am enjoying myself. Thank you for the word. We can always learn a little bit more, no matter how much we already know. And I thank you for the word tonight. I needed it. It was right on time. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you, Dr. Dosha. Thank you so very much for calling in tonight. Let's go to area code 252, last four digits, 1600. Are you on the line?
Yes, Pastor Rogers, this is Mother Gay's mother. I want to tell you, I just, when you're teaching, it's so soothing. I told my son, it's like I'm meditating when I listen at you. Thank you for studying. That's the part. You study, and you can tell that you study. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Thank you. Area code 910, last four digits, 5088. Are you on the line?
Yes, I am, Pastor.
How you doing?
I'm here.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear
okay.
you.
Okay. You like to speak on the lesson?
I enjoyed the lesson.
Okay. Well, thank you so very much.
I don't have anything to comment on.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you for listening. Okay. I'm not going to let y'all get off the hook like that. I'm going to ask some questions. I got about 15 more minutes. So y'all got to help me out on this thing. So I'm going to ask some questions. Now, would you, I want to go back to Dr. Dosha. Dr. Dosha, you have lived in the city of Durham for a while, and you have seen the plight of some of the communities in our cities. when we talk about trying to fix these problems that we have in our cities, not just Durham, but all other cities as well, don't you think it's very important that we look at those people who are going to lead us to help us? Because some people maybe not even able to help us get out of those situations. Don't you think it's very important that we look at the leadership like that?
Most definitely. And just because, like you said, their names are well known, that does not necessarily mean that they are the ones for us. We need to look into their background and what they want to do and how they go about doing it. And we always know that, you know, you have to put God first before you do anything anyway. And like you said, Haystack community and all of the black development that we once had, I was a child during that time, but just the same, it was, I have learned so much about it, and it has faded away. So, you know, the churches and the people of the community, we have a lot of work to do. And if we don't stay united and prayed up, then, you know, things is, it's not going to work.
Amen. I mean, I think that's basically one of the things that Jeremiah was trying to tell the people even back then, and they still wouldn't hear it. And of course, you know, we have people today who still won't hear it, but the
that's
word
true.
Is true. The word is true. Mm-hmm. The word is true. We must do those types of things. I'm going to go to Mother Taylor. Let me ask you a question. When Jeremiah wrote this particular book, the people were in captivity, and they couldn't see no further than what they could see. What do you think about having a vision for the future? Don't you think that we should have a better outlook as to what? Just because I'm sick today, don't mean I shouldn't look to get well tomorrow. You know what I mean? How do we teach people how to do that?
Pastor, I'm listening at the script. Speak those things not as they are.
Mm-hmm.
We got to start speaking it. What's wrong with this? We got to start speaking it. Even when people are doubting it, we still got to speak it. I speak it that they're going to come up here in my neighborhood, and they're going to put sidewalks. They're going to do everything it's supposed to be did. I'm going to keep speaking it.
We have to speak that thing, huh? I agree. I agree. And a lot of times when we don't do that, people lose hope. And, you know, when people lose hope, they'll say, well, there's no need, no way. It's never going to happen. And when people say that, sure enough, it never will happen. Like you say, when we speak positive things happen. If we speak negative things happen. And I think that's one of the things that we must learn as a child of God, that we must always have a positive attitude, no matter what we're going through, no matter what life hands us. Life can hand you some curveballs. Life can turn your life upside down, but we still got to have hope. We still got to have a vision further than what we can see with our natural eye. We got to have a spiritual vision to see beyond our plight. And I think that's one of the reasons why God told Jeremiah to write it down, because he knew that by the time people came out of captivity, Jeremiah would be dead, but his words would still be alive. And they could read those words, and they could find comfort in those words, knowing that even back then, God had a plan for his people. I want to go to Deaconess Rainey. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Okay. I can barely hear you, but that's all right, as long as you can hear me. I want to ask you a question. When we talk about the future kingdom of God, do you think people have an idea of what that kingdom is, or do you think they think we're talking about some made-up concept of God's kingdom? Do you think people actually have an idea of what the kingdom of God is?
I think some of them may, but maybe not.
Maybe they can't see it like it's written. And I think that's part of the problem of having that type of vision. If you notice, all the prophets that God worked with in the Old Testament, he took them out of themselves and gave them visions. He did not want them to speak on what they saw. He wanted them to speak on what will happen. And so he took them all out of themselves. He took Ezekiel into a valley of dry bones. You know, every prophet, he took them out of themselves to show them things that were to come in the future. And I think that if we are a true people of God, we must have the same type of intuition. Maybe we're not on a prophet status, but we must have the same type of intuition to be able to see what God is showing us, because God is showing something to us every day. I had someone ask me when the pandemic first hit 2020, do you think, Reverend, do you think that God is trying to tell us something? I said, Mister, God been trying to tell us something every day.
Amen.
Every day. He just started trying to tell us something. He's been trying to tell us something all along, and we have not been listening. And that's the thing that I think that Jeremiah wanted to stress as well, that we have to have an eye and an ear for God so that we can see what God is doing in the present time and what God is about to do in future times. This is why he told them, and I'm going to go back to Dr. Dosha. When we were talking about earlier, when he talked about that he was going to restore them in their former places. In other words, you know, he was not going to give them nothing new. He had already promised them a land, right? So what God is saying is that same land that I promised you, you're going to go back to, and you're going to restore that same land. What does that mean to you?
That means building up Haiti community all over again. Just because it was torn down one time does not mean that it's going to stay that way. And the thing is, we got to have faith. We got to trust and believe that what the words say is true. And we have to have hope. And if we have those things, faith, because, you know, we've had some good years and we've had some bad years. But all in all, God has been with us through everything, regardless of what it is. And what we need to do is we got to keep our hope alive and keep our trust and believing in. Because if you don't believe it, why should he give you something that you don't believe is going to happen anyway?
That's right. When he says you're going to, the Bible says that when they came out of captivity, there was still some of the foundation there. What I take from that is the fact that we still have some of the foundation of our society here with us. Some of us are in our 60s. Some of us are in our 70s. Some of us are in our 80s and 90s. But we are the foundation. We're still here. And it would behoove us if we don't use the wisdom that we have so that the generation that will come after us will be able to build off of the foundation that has already been laid and build up the walls. And build up the walls that were torn down to bring back the prosperity of the people, to bring back the sanity of the people. If we look at our communities and we look at the horrible things that people are doing to one another, it just seems like we have lost our minds. So he might be right. He says he'll even restore that. He'll even restore that lost mind. He'll even restore that everything that we've lost. He said he's able to restore all of that. Yeah. And that, to me,
you know,
is good news.
Pastor,
go right ahead.
I belong to New Home and Durham Association. And right now we're having a little time right now. And people don't seem like they're interested or what. And I keep explaining to them, I was saying, you tell me you're going to let your forefathers that have worked so hard to, and it's over 100 years, to build this up, and then you're just going to let it just drop down to the waterside. God is not pleased with this, because he did not have those people to work that hard for us to just lose everything because of us being lazy, because of us not trusting and being attentive. And some of them just don't care at all, one way or the other. And, you know, we got to mount up and do the right thing. That's what we got to do. People are just using excuses why they can't do this or why they can't do that. Because even with during this pandemic, people hollering they can't go to church and they can't do this, but they go to Walmart, they go out to eat, they go to all these other different places. So what's different?
Nothing. Nothing's different. You're absolutely right. There is a sense of apathy that's running through the household of faith today. And people mm-hmm. just don't care like they used to. They don't mm-hmm. care. They don't care. But God is still good. And regardless of whether they care or not, the foundation mm-hmm. is not going anywhere. You know,
y'all
people
right,
can either help or not, but the foundation's not mm-hmm. going nowhere, you know. Mm-hmm. And eventually they're going to have to come back to it anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Because when things get so bad that they don't have anywhere else to turn to, they're going to have to come back eventually.
That's the first thing they'll do.
That's the first thing. That's the only thing they can do. That's the only thing they can do, you know, and they're going to have to come back. And they just better hope that there's something left when they come back.
That's right.
They better hope that something is left. And when it's all over, when all the dust settle, they better hope that something is left when they come back. Does anyone else have anything else they'd like to add? Well, I thank you all so very much for being on the live with me tonight. We're on every Tuesday night at 7 o'clock for our Bible study. We didn't have that many. I think I got about 8 of you on the line tonight. Usually we have more than that. Reverend Doshi, as you say before, people are apathetic. They just don't care. Bible study, okay, maybe. I don't know. you know how they go, you know. I don't have time for Bible study. You know, I don't have time for that. But eventually they will come back because the Word of God is not going anywhere, and you have to lean on it and depend on it. So I'm going to ask, Mother Taylor, do you have anything else you'd like to add?
No, sir, I'm good.
Deaconess Rainey, do you have anything you'd like to add?
No.
Well, Dr. Doshi, would you pray for us as we go out tonight?
Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, once again, Lord, we thank you. Father God, we thank you for the rising of the sun and the same of the same. Oh, Father God, I just thank you for the word tonight, Father God. It impeded my heart, Father God, the words of Pastor Roger, because God's word never changes. It's the same today, tomorrow, and forever. And Father God, we just ask that you would bring people, turn people around their hearts, their minds, and give them trust and faith so that they realize that they need you. Some just don't realize that they need you, Lord, and just don't believe. And Father God, I'm just asking that those that are able to hear tonight to be able to strengthen their hearts and to strengthen their faith in Jesus. And Father God, we ask that the man of the hour, Father God, that you use him, Father God. He's such an awesome speaker. And as Rainey said, he's a studier. He's a man of the word. So Father God, I just thank you for Pastor Rogers and for First Lady Rogers, because to me, they mean everything to me. And Father God, I just hope that everybody really received the word tonight and were able to feed upon that word, because it's going to take me all weekend. I'm ready for next Tuesday to come on. And the only thing I can complain about a little bit, Pastor Rogers, I saw the phone number on Facebook earlier today. I said, I get it later. Then I tried to do it later, couldn't find it nowhere. And I had my daughter looking and everybody looking for that phone number. I said, I'm just going to call Mama and tell Mama to give me this number now, because I had to have that word tonight. I don't know why I had to have it tonight, but the Lord said I had to have it tonight, and I thank you for it. And I thank God for sending you my way, Father God. And for God, we thank that you will reach out and touch all that are listening tonight, Father God. Keep them in perfect peace. This is my prayer. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so very much, Dr. Doshi. Number is always going to be the same. You can go to the First Baptist of Holly Spring Facebook page. You can find that number. And we'll always post that number on the Facebook page every night, every Tuesday night. And that number does stay the same.
Mama gave it to me. I got it.
Okay, good, good. So God bless y'all. Y'all have a good week.
Thank you.
We'll see you Sunday. Don't forget, Sunday is church anniversary, 155 years. Church anniversary.
Ooh,
come and check us out.
God.
Be a part of the service on Sunday. God bless you. Have a great night.
You too.
Good night.
Good night.
are getting ready to pass through the Red Sea. Now, when I count to three, we gonna break out in a praise that our God is worthy of. Are you ready to praise Him? Are you ready to clap your hands? Are you ready to dance?